Notorious blesses of the love you today and out of us acts. And we found the hope that he brings for us in our worship service.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We've been gathering in the Lord's house this first Sunday in the month of October. We hope in our worship service this morning that the love and hope we have in God be made present to each and every one of us this morning. If you're a guest with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us here at First Baptist Elon. If you have an opportunity to fill out a visitor's card and drop it off in the offering plate. For those that are watching this morning online on Facebook Live, welcome. Thank you for joining us online this morning. I do want to remind you that you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up the worship bulletin, use that as a resource for our worship today and also for ministries coming up in the life of our church. If you're a first time viewer online, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for finding us. And I hope that you'll take an opportunity to send me an email this week. Share your name and let me share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. For those that are gathered here today and those that are watching online this morning, I do want to remind you that this afternoon at 4 p.m., we have our next Elon Roundtable meeting. Our Elon Roundtable meetings are our business meetings here at First Baptist, and that meeting will be at 4 o'clock upstairs in the Fellowship Hall, so I hope you'll all join us for that time of discussion, that time of planning, and that time of business. Following that, at 5 p.m., will be our next session in our adult Bible study, Hidden. This will be session 2 in our study, and again, that'll be at 5 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall today. As you look at your bulletins, you'll see some things coming up in the life of our church this week. Of course, Tuesday, we continue our ministry at Golden Year Senior Center with that bingo and birthday ministry. If you would like to attend and go help out with that time of ministry at 1:30, please speak to Sandy French this morning and let her know that you would like to come. Wednesday, of course, is our choir practice at 6:30 p.m. And then Thursday, there is a fun and fellowship trip to the North Wilkesboro racetrack. And I'm going to all I'm going to say about it, because Gay's going to talk a little bit about it in more detail later on in the worship service, but that's coming up on Thursday. I do want to thank you this morning. We concluded our collection during the month of September for our donations to Allied Churches. Thank you for all of your donations, and we were able to send $500, a little over $500 to Allied Churches this past week. But I do want to remind you that you can donate to Allied Churches at any time. If you want to send a donation here and just mark it that way, we will make sure Allied Churches get it. You can make a donation straight to Allied Churches, but they are always in need of resources to help minister to the lower population here in Alamance County. I do want to remind you that this month, for the month of October, we are collecting items for the residential treatment services of Alamance. If you look on the back of your bulletin at the top, it has a list of all the items that we're collecting over this month. You also find that same list in your newsletter. And so just please make a note of those when you're out picking up some things. Pick some of these items up, drop them off in the bins upstairs in the fellowship hall and in the communications center. And then finally, I just want to remind you, you heard me talk about it last week, you see the promotion in the bulletin this week, that next Sunday will be our homecoming celebration. We'll be celebrating over 75 years of ministry here at First Baptist Elon, as God has blessed us, and we have followed his calling to build the kingdom here in Elon. And I just want to remind you that the schedule will be a little bit different next Sunday morning. We will have our prayer time, but next Sunday it'll be at 9 o'clock instead of 9:20, and we'll meet in the Celestial Sunday School classroom, which is right down the hallway here. Then at 10 o'clock, instead of having our Sunday school hour, we will be having an extended worship service. It'll start at 10 o'clock. We'll have a special guest, Casey Johnson, who will be our special music guest. Justin Mofield will be coming to preach from the pulpit for that Sunday morning. But that service will last from probably 10 to 11:30. And then at 11:30, we will have our covered dish lunch. And this is open to anybody who wants to come. Do you have to bring food to participate in the lunch? No. By all means, we'll have more than enough, but I encourage you to do so. If you like cooking and like bringing some items, we always enjoy this time of fellowship around the table. But I do just want to remind you about that schedule change. So if you show up at 11:30 tomorrow, next Sunday, you'll probably hear Justin's sermon. That's all you'll hear. So if you want to hear all the music that comes in front of it, make sure you get here at 10 o'clock next Sunday morning. And I hope you'll invite your friends and family to come as well. This will be a wonderful time of celebration here at First Baptist. Now, as we gather here for worship this morning, may our hearts and minds center on our worship hour as we give thanks for God's love, God's hope that we can only find in Him. Let's worship together.
Our opening hymn this morning is "Oh, How I Love Jesus." And we did this hymn at Blakey Hall this past Sunday. And to hear those ladies sing this song about how much they love Jesus, it just melted our hearts that day. Let's stand and let's worship together.
This morning, our opening scripture reading is Psalm 37, verses 1 through 9. Listen to these words from David. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways when they carry out their wicked schemes. This morning, as we reflect on these words from the psalmist, Psalm 37, the last verse says, and I'm just going to skip over the last verse of this psalm. It says, the Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. When we take refuge in our God, when we take refuge in the one who has created us and who brings us into being and brings us and calls us here today, when we take refuge in Him, we can find the strength, the courage, and the hope that we all need. Let us worship and pray this morning. Lord, as we gather in worship today, help us to relax. Take from each of us the tension that makes peace impossible. Take from us all the fears that do not allow us to venture. Take from us the worries that blind our sight. Take from us the distress that hides our joy. Help us to know that we are with You, that we are in Your care, that we are in Your love, that in You we can find hope. May we know that we are one with You this morning. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Lamentations 3:22-23 says this: the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. Let's stand and sing together.
Yeah.
something I noticed just now, and I've been here for about 10 years now, I guess you would say that, somewhere going on 10 years. I looked out, and I was looking out there at John and Jerry and Luke back there, and in that picture, I could see my shadow, and I was like, oh dear. That is not something you want to see when you're up here singing and leading y'all, but there it is. On this coming Thursday, October the 9th, the senior adults are taking a trip to North Wilkesboro's racetrack. And from what I understand, the racetrack had been closed for years and stuff, and they revitalized it, and it's open now, and they're running races. So Faye, I never can remember who it is, somebody in Faye Naylor's family has gotten us this trip up for us, and I want to first say thank you to Faye and her family for doing this. But we will leave at 8 o'clock Thursday morning and get on the bus, head up to Wilkesboro, and we'll tour the racetrack that day. And it's about an hour long, something like that. And then we'll go to Almost on the Lake, is the name of the restaurant in Wilkesboro, outside of Wilkesboro. We'll go there and have lunch and then travel home. So I hope you'll join us. We still have a couple spaces on the bus. And but I need to know Wednesday if you plan on going or not. So hope to see you then. Thanks. Now I'll call on whoever the demon is. Father.
Please join me in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to come as a group and worship with you today. And thank you for this wonderful church. Please guide our offertory givings this today and throughout every day to help the activities of this church and the outreach and the ministries of this church that you are leading us to do. And let us always be a witness for you in all that we say and do. And amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark, for our special music today. Before I turn to our time of prayer before our sermon today, I do want to also say a special thank you. Thank you to those who came out yesterday morning, did some work around the church to get things ready, specifically for homecoming, but also for the fall. So thank you for those that were able to show up yesterday morning to help with that. I also want to say a special thank you, because she's not here today. Thank you for Kathy Hines. Kathy Hines spends a lot of time here at First Baptist getting things ready, and the beauty of the decorations and around the church. She has her fingerprints all over. I told Kathy the other day, I said, when you retired, we didn't realize we were hiring you as a part-time staff employee. And she said, where's the paycheck? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. She didn't say that, but she has been a lot here a lot, and I'm thankful for her continued ministry and her gift there. Now, if you would, join me in prayer as we encounter God's word this morning. Comforting Spirit, it is all too easy for us to focus only on the negative things in life, instead of celebrating all that you provide that is positive and good. Redirect our wayward hearts today, Lord. Refocus our wandering minds. Remind us of the hope we have in you, for your love and mercies are without end. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship this morning here at First Baptist on this first Sunday in the month of October. My prayer is that our worship this morning will bring you in touch with the hope that only can be found in our God. This morning, may we be able to see how this hope affects our lives when hope floats. Now, for some of you this morning, when you may have saw the sermon title in the newsletter earlier this month, or you saw this in the bulletin today, your mind may have immediately gone to a movie that was released in 1998. Raise your hand if you've seen the movie Hope Floats. All right, so basically, Hope Floats is a movie that was directed by Forrest Whitaker, and it starred Sandra Bullock and Harry Connick Jr. And it was a romantic rom-com movie that centers on the plot of a woman by the name of Bertie Pruitt, played by Sandra Bullock, who thought everything was going well in her life. Things were going great, but at the very beginning of the movie, she discovers that her husband is having an affair with her best friend. Her life was shattered. She was devastated. So in response, Bertie takes her young daughter and they move back to her hometown to live with her mother. This is where Bertie meets again a long-lost love interest, Justin Matisse, played by Harry Connick Jr. However, Bertie quickly learns that the problems of life keep coming in waves. In a conversation she has with her and her 9-year-old daughter, who's played, her daughter's name is Bernice, by the way, played by Mae Whitman, Bertie addresses this idea of hope. She says this to her daughter, who they're in a brand new living situation, a brand new moment in life, and she says this: try to remember that when you find yourself at a new beginning, just give hope a chance to float up. That's the inspiration for the sermon title today and the idea of this concept of hope. You see, there are different types of hope in this world. There's a wishful hope. I hope it does not rain today. There is an expectant hope. I am hoping for a good outcome. Then there is a secure hope. My hope is in God. There is a hope that sinks, a hope that floats, and not only floats, but even more so, a hope that rises. And this morning, we're going to look at those three types this morning as we approach this concept of hope floating. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to actually look at three scripture passages today. They're listed in your bulletin in order of which we'll be reading: Job 30, 20 through 31, Lamentations 3, 19 through 24, and 1 Peter 1, 3. And they're going to be displayed on the worship screens behind you as well. But as we get to each point in our sermon, we'll address these scripture passages specifically. So this morning, let's look at this concept in our understanding of hope. These three stages or these three types of hope. The first, let's talk about hope sinking. Interestingly, the first occurrence of the word hope in the entire Bible is not found until the 8th book of the Bible and the book of Ruth. Even then, the word hope is found in this kind of idea of hope sinking. Naomi has lost her husband and her two sons. She was trying to convince her two daughters-in-law to leave her, one of them obviously being Ruth. And basically she says there was no hope of her finding another husband and having two sons for them to eventually marry. There was no hope. Sometimes we have hope, but then something happens in our lives and we are let down. We get our hopes up, but then it does not come to pass, and we get that sinking feeling in our stomachs, even in our souls. When hope sinks, we practically lose everything. I mean, we lose everything. We lose our feelings, and we might change that terminology instead of hope sinking. It's hope stinking. Job felt this way. He practically lost everything, his children, his assets, even his health. Before this happened, he was a respected member of his community, but now people were shunning him away. His so-called friends were not of any help. And to top it off, Job felt that God had abandoned him when he needed him the most. This is when we encounter this passage in Job chapter 30, verses 20 through 31. Listen to these words. I cry out to you, O God, but you do not answer. I stand up, but you merely look at me. You turn on me ruthlessly with the might of your hand and attack me. You snatch me up and drive me before the wind. You toss me about in the storm. I know you will bring me down to death, to the place appointed for all the living. Surely no one lays a hand on a broken man when he cries for help in his distress. Have I not wept for those in trouble? Has not my soul grieved for the poor? Yet when I hoped for good, evil came. When I looked for light, then came darkness. The churning inside me never stops. Days of suffering confront me. I go about blackened, but not by the sun. I stand up in the assembly and cry for help. I have become a brother of jackals, a companion of owls. My skin grows black and peels. My body burns with fever. My harp is turned to mourning, and my flute to the sound of wailing. Ever felt that way before? I think we've all been there before. So you see, Job was a righteous man, yet God still allowed this to happen to him. Now, Job did not understand why. He was crying out, but feeling like he was getting no answer. He was reaching out, but he was not getting any help. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever reacted like Job does here in chapter 30? It's completely understandable why we would. But we learn from chapters 1 and 2 that Job did not curse God or even blame God. He just did not understand why God was allowing it and why he had not come to the aid, the rescue, or defense. We do the right thing, serve God and help people, but then calamity strikes. We do not get it. We are discouraged and frustrated. We do not do anything to deserve what was happening to us, but it just happens anyway. We may feel the situation is hopeless. I'm sure that's how Job felt, but that was not the end of the story of Job, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. Another way that hope sinks is when we put our hope in something other than God. Salvation is through Christ alone, but many people don't believe it. Therefore, the hope is in something else, another religion or religious figure. It could be in their own thinking, mainly that they are a good person, and that is the only thing necessary for God to grant them entrance into heaven. The reality is, though, that those who have that hope in anything other than God will eventually be disappointed. Ephesians 2:12 says that when we were separated from Christ, we were without hope. Before we were born again, we were in our sin, and therefore without the hope of eternal life. This is true hopelessness. Proverbs 11:7 says, when a wicked man dies, his hope perishes. All he expected from his power comes to nothing. The key word in that verse is expected. I can expect something to happen, and be sorely disappointed. But when it comes to having expectations about eternity, it will truly be a rude awakening if our expectations are in anything other than Jesus. When I rely on my own power, intellect, or accomplishments, I'm going to be in trouble when I think these things matter when it comes to eternity. Proverbs 10:28 says, "The prospect of the righteous is joy, but the hopes of the wicked come to nothing." You see, what is interesting in just these two verses alone in Proverbs is that the words prospect or hope and hopes all have to do with expecting or having an expectation. So the real issue is, what are you basing your expectations on? What are your expectations of the future, tomorrow, the next day, the next week, the next year? What is your expectation of whatever life circumstance you're in when you graduate from high school or college, when you get married, when you retire from your job? What are your expectations? Are they anything other than God? That's the key. And if it is anything else, it will come to nothing and will spiritually perish about it and because of it. And that brings us to the second type of hope. That brings us to a hope I think that we start seeing in our lives today. And that hope is that hope floats. Sometimes when we are in despair, we still have hope. No matter what may be going on around us and everything may be falling down in our lives, we still have this hope. This helps to keep us afloat in those troubled waters. Reading our second passage today, Lamentations 3:19 through 24. Listen to these words. "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him." Thus the reason of why we sang, "Great is thy faithfulness," this morning. Hope is a major component of our faith. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is being sure of what we hoped for. That would be called a secure hope. It is the type of hope that centers our focus on God when the winds and the waves are bashing and sweeping and crashing against us. That's when our focus is on him. The prophet Jeremiah is believed to have written the book of Lamentations. The book has this title because of the word lament, which means to mourn or to grieve. During this period of time, the Israelites were in captivity to the Babylonians. The Babylonians came in and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple in 586 BC. Most of the people in Jerusalem were exiled to Babylon. Some were left in the rubble. Being in exile could have easily caused the people to feel hopeless. But what kept Jeremiah going was knowing that God's love is great and he is filled with compassion. Just because the current situation that they were in that moment was a troubling one, God's mercies were reliable and new each morning. Jeremiah knew that God was faithful to keep his word and his promises. Therefore, he knew he could just wait in confidence and rely on the Lord's training. Have you ever been in that moment, feeling bashed and beat by the world's waves, but you can still find a peace, a calm, a comfort in the midst of it? Undescribable. Sometimes when I'm preaching a funeral sermon or when I'm meeting with a family who's lost a loved one of the things I say is this. Sometimes there's a peace that we can't even begin to understand. I mean, we say we could be at peace. We think that's the opposite of war, war and peace. But there's a peace that we just can't begin to wrap our minds around. However, when we feel it, when we experience it, it is so calming. And that's the peace of God. We don't understand how it works. We just get to experience it. And that peace is the hope that we find in him. The Israelites were in a difficult situation because they had forsaken God. God had warned them that there would be consequences if they kept doing what they were doing, if they persisted, and God was true to His Word. But God is also true to His Word when His people repent and they turn back to Him. He is present and He is there. Jeremiah did not give up hope that the time would come when God would restore His people. He knew it would happen. That happened as God said it would. The thing that kept Jeremiah's focus and hopes alive are exactly what we need to keep our hope afloat as well when we face those circumstances in life. God has proved Himself repeatedly, and we can trust in Him. Psalm 62, 5-8 says, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge." The psalm speaks of God being our rock, our fortress, our refuge where we can turn. When our hope is in God, we do not have to be shaken or afraid. Instead, we can find rest and peace and hope in those turbulent waters. Everybody remembers the story about Jesus and the disciples being on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is taking a nap in the bottom of the boat. The boat gets shifted and shaken by a storm that just kind of blows up. And the disciples are shocked that Jesus can sleep through this. And they felt that they were going to drown. And they go down to wake Jesus up. And Jesus got up. He said, he quieted the storm and basically said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Where is your faith?" Now, this story does not say that we're not going to have to face the storms of life. We do. You may be in the midst of a storm right now. But we all will be facing those storms. But in those storms, what we can know is we have a rock. We have a fortress. We have someone steadfast who's right there. When our doubts may be popping up, it's the hope in the solid rock of Christ that can ground us. Instead, we'll be calm, and Jesus will bring peace to our souls. Sometimes we start out in the life frame or the mind frame that hope sinks. We start there, but then something happens to us that pulls us up and brings us to the top. Maybe it's reading a scripture passage in the Bible. Maybe it's prayer with God. Maybe it's the words of a friend or a family member who God has called to speak to you in that moment. But all of a sudden, something changes. Something opens your eyes to the hope that we can have. If you remember the story after Jesus was resurrected, He appeared to two disciples, we don't know the name of both, but on the road to Emmaus. But they did not recognize Him. He walked with them, He journeyed with them, but they did not know who He was. And as these two talked with this stranger, they conveyed all the feelings of hope that had been going on in their lives that they felt now had been dashed. Luke 24, 20-21 says, "The chief priests and our rulers handed Him over to be sentenced to death. And they crucified Him, but we had hoped that He was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place." We had hoped that He was the one. The Greek word here for hoped here means they were confidently looking forward to what is good and to what is beneficial. These two believed that Jesus would be raised, and when in their minds it did not happen, they were crushed. They felt like all hope was lost. It's the third day, the day He was supposed to come back. And where is He? We don't see Him. I guess it did not happen. All hope is lost. Little did they know that their hopes were not dashed. They were not, left on the side of the road. As they invited the stranger in to eat with them for the meal that evening, all of a sudden their eyes are open to who this truly was. And it was the one they had been waiting on. The one they had been speaking about. The one they felt that hope had been dashed for. And all of a sudden, their hope was restored. After the revelation of Jesus being present with them, and then He was just immediately gone, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11, those and those with them, and they assembled together and they said, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon Peter." It's not fun to be hopeless. It's not fun to live in a world that has no hope. But when God comes through and brings that sinking hope that we start in and start raising it up, it starts floating, there is nothing else like it. Motivation is restored. Passion is restored. Hope is restored. Job had feelings of hopelessness. But that was not how his story ended, if you remember. It did not start out well. Job had lost all hope of getting everything back that he had lost. Yet, he kept his integrity. He would not turn away from God. And that was a key factor in Job's ability to persevere through this. We can be like Job. We're in the midst of life storms. We can have hope in him because he is there. Job did not lose hope. He had not lost hope in God. And even though he felt God may have been punishing him without cause, he says this, "Though he slays me, yet I will still hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face." Though God was allowing all the calamities to come upon Job, Job would not give up hope. Sometimes I think we throw that word hope around. "Well, I hope your doctor's appointment goes well." We do. Then we're putting our full trust in God when we say that. Or, "I hope you'll have a great vacation at the beach this week." Do we mean it? Yes. But do we truly think about the word we're saying? Where's that hope in? Where is your hope found? Job had a lot of friends that came to him, and they did not provide him any hope. So when we put our hope in others, we will be let down. If we remember the end of the story, the Lord blessed Job, blessed him in ways that he can't even begin to imagine at the end of the story. Job's hope was rewarded. Psalm 25:3 says that no one whose hope is in God will ever be put to shame. The ones who put their hope in God, being who he says he is, and the hope that God honors his promise, will not be disappointed. Romans 5 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, what does character provide? Hope. We may be saved, but that does not mean that the situations of trouble and turmoil aren't coming our way. Again, you may already be there. You may be looking in the rearview mirror and something you just came through. Or there are things coming up in our lives. In wherever you stand, we must have hope. We have the hope of knowing that going through such things brings perseverance, character, and hope. And hope will never disappoint because we have the Holy Spirit, who is a confirmation of God's love, presence, and commitment to us. He enables us to have a strong and resilient hope. When our hope is in the Lord, we will be given the strength to carry on. When life weighs us down or trips us up, our hope is in the Lord, not only gets us through, but it enables us to be completely made new. We run with perseverance. We travel with durable hope. We do not just walk. We do not just run. We float. We float like that hope that we can embrace. And you know what? When we have that floating hope in our lives, I can promise, because God promises this, it will eventually rise. And that's the third phase of our hope this morning. Hope rising. 1 Peter 1:3 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He's given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection. The term living hope refers to eternal hope, everlasting hope. This hope is alive because Jesus is alive. This hope does not go away. It does not just show up in time when times are down. It is ever present in our lives. And because He is the author of life, and since He has resurrected from the dead and is alive now and forevermore, He is the one who offers us eternal life, and therefore through Him we have a living hope that will never die. A rising hope that we can't begin to embrace completely, but is present in our lives. Maybe your hopes have been dashed. People maybe have let you down. Situations didn't turn out as the way you thought they should. Maybe you feel there is no reason right now in life to have hope, but there is. But there always is, because we have God present in our lives, and He has restored us. Whether our next day is on this breathing earth or our next day is in eternity, because of we know where we're going, our hope is present now, and it rises and it lifts us up to do what He's called us to do, to overcome any situation, but more importantly, to be present in His life. That's where true living, rising hope is found, is in our relationship with Him. The Lord might not cause everything to turn out the way you want it, but you can always trust Him. God is our secure hope, our eternal hope. And no matter what has happened in your life, whether it was 10 years ago, 30 years ago, or 2 hours ago, no matter how far along in life you are, there is always an opportunity to embrace that rising hope. Some people think they are beyond hope. Some people think today we're in a world of hopelessness. What I say to that is this. Ecclesiastes 9:4 says, anyone who is among the living has hope. We have hope because we're in the presence of God. As long as you are alive, you have a glimmer of hope. It's in Him. No matter what you have done, no matter what you have been, what has been done to you, no matter what is going around, no matter what bad things are happening, no matter how bleak things look right now, as long as you're still breathing, the possibility of hope still exists. And that's why we can embrace it. And that's why He came back from the dead, and that's why our hope continues to rise. Come to Jesus to gain that hope. Turn your sinking hope into a hope that not only floats, but also rises to heaven. Let's pray. Father God, may we not be flippant with the word hope in our daily conversations in our lives, because that hope that is the true hope in this world has been brought about by your death on the cross. May we embrace it. May we embrace you. And no matter what tomorrow may hold, what the rest of this day may hold, no matter what last year or 10 years ago or 1 year ahead or 10 years in the future might hold, we know we can have that hope because of you. Thank you for being present. Thank you for being willing, and thank you for restoring hope in our lives today. Amen. As we come to sing our closing hymn this morning, maybe today for the very first time, you recognize that Jesus Christ is the hope that you need, the hope that we all need. And if you're recognizing that for the first time, come down front. Let me talk to you, embrace you as a brother in Christ, and share about that living hope. Maybe today, for the first time, you've been looking for a church body that seeks to honor God through our ministry here. Maybe you've been looking for the hope found in a faith community. First Baptist Elon can be that community for you. Come down and let me embrace you and share what the First Baptist Church of Elon family is all about. Or maybe you're just in a time where you don't see the hope. You're not experiencing the hope that you feel and need in your life right now. If that's where you are, come down. I'll pray with you. One of our deacons will pray with you. Come lay it at the altar, because when we approach Him with our worries, with the storms of life, He is present. He is there, and He will give us that rising hope. Wherever you are today, make that decision this morning. Let's stand and sing. Prepare to go out into a world that may have waves crashing towards us. Know that we can find our hope in Him. Anything else is going to fall, but in Him we can rise with Him just as He did on that third day. Go in peace. Carry that hope with you today.